What's up, y'all? This is Chris and Casey Lehman.
What's up, y'all? Happy New Year.
Happy 2015. I know it's been a while since we dropped the show on Friday.
Yes.
And the break has been long overdue.
Yes.
You know, as you know, when we talked to you guys the last time, now for those of you who don't tune in to the Brother Lehman Sports Happy Hour, you know, we were in the midst of having a baby, talking about baby names and all that stuff. Well, she is finally here.
Yes, she is 8 weeks old, and she is amazing. And being parents of two kids is definitely different than being the parent of one.
Oh, yeah, you can say that.
Like, for instance, right now we're recording this, and both kids are asleep right next to us.
Yeah, they're quiet, so one of them rare opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we wanted to drop this, you know, we wanted to drop all this and for the 2015 to get y'all ready, you know, but with the new baby here, you know, it made it difficult. And her name is officially, it's Isley.
Yes.
We didn't go with James or nothing like that.
We didn't do James. I got vetoed out of James. Her name is Isley Lehman, 19 inches long, 6 pounds, 1 ounce at birth.
Yeah, shout out to Moody who gave a nice little short podcast about her.
Yes, thank you, brother. Your niece appreciates it. We will have that in a time capsule for when she becomes of age to actually be able to listen and understand it. But we enjoyed it very much.
Oh yeah, so everybody who's been out listening, supporting us all in 2014, we want to say thank you to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you tuning in. You know, responding to us, letting us know what you think and what you guys want to talk about and want to hear us talk about. You know, it's all appreciated. Want to let you know we are setting some things up for 2015. We haven't had a chance to get the whole crew together to meet, but we will in a few weeks. And we'll start turning out all that new, all those new discussions that y'all enjoy.
Right. And bear with us because probably the first few shows will be some recaps of events that happened after our final podcast in 2014. We do not want to gloss over some really exciting things that have taken place in the world. Some exciting, some just topic worthy. And the family wants to share their opinions and ideas and feelings about certain things. So we plan a little bit of catch up in regards to topics, but we will be, as usual, having a rolling queue of topics as things happen and as ideas come to mind.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we'll be putting those out every week, every Friday for the Black Kids Break. Y'all make sure to tune into the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour with the Brothers Lehman, myself, and my brother Jonathan, just giving you that weekly sports talk. That was hard to stop. I think we stopped for a week, and then, you know, with football season just the way it was hard to get off the mics. But we had that. My music show, Turn My Headphones Up, just dropped that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Dropped that last week. Trying to make that a little more consistent, make that a monthly show.
Yeah, we just got hit up by Merck, so we got dates set for the Jam. So the Jam is coming back in 2015. Tori and I already have some topics we want to hit for Brown Girl Hour. More than likely, those podcasts, well, the Brown Girl Hour more than likely will happen monthly, maybe bi-monthly, because our schedules have become severely impacted. But we want to get in there and talk about those topics that do pertain to us as brown girls. And I'm in Brother Malcolm's ear like crazy. Brother Malcolm, he's got a lot of life happening around him right now. But I told him that we need Culture Connection to stay alive. So y'all do a collective prayer with me. Rain dance, burn some incense, some sage, sprinkle a chicken bone, something. We want to get Brother Malcolm back on the mic on a regular basis. We miss him. And Malcolm, I know you listening.
Oh, yeah. He has that itch. When we talked to him about it, he has the itch. Yeah. He misses it. Yeah. You just got to get him over to the mic.
Yeah. People got careers, y'all. You know, we're at that age where we got career and family and people are making life decisions. And those things always trump, you know, the things that we do for fun and for love. And for us, the podcast is a labor of love, but we ain't never too far from the mics. They stay set up.
No. We want to give a shout out to all our fellow podcasters out there who continue to inspire us and push us to do great things here. Shout out to Mr. Moody, of course. My fam, KJ, Lady J over at Welcome to the Village. I'm liking that new drop. That yes. new intro was popping.
It's hot. I like Big Bruh's drop, too. Mm-hmm. Two-step.
Oh, yeah.
It's Kales-esque.
What else we got? We got Jay from Right to Real Love.
Yes.
He's always been good. Aaron over at the Black Astronauts and the Ladies Launch. Kai Love and Leticia over at the Pisces Life. Who else we got? It's a lot of folk.
The brothers over at Hip Hop Digest.
Oh, yeah.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Our folks over in St. Louis and straight out of Low Cash.
Yep.
I'm just thinking out loud. It's a lot of y'all. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, the IDS family in deep. And I want to give a special shout out to Sister Queen Neen. Neen, thank you so much. You and Lady Roe, who is just, Lady Roe is the queen of the podcast supporters. Again, you all really just checking in with me every now and again during the pregnancy was awesome. And Neen, the gift that y'all sent, amazing. Love it. Glad to have it. Didn't know anything about it. And so glad you put us on to it. We appreciate it.
Yeah. But I know it's a lot of y'all we forgetting right now.
It's just so many podcasts.
So much to listen to. You know, we encourage you to listen to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We always appreciate you coming back to the Blackest Network to check us out as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and to give a shout out to the folks out here on the West Coast. Rashani up north, Dino Red down the street and around the corner, the Hoopla.
Oh, yeah. Hoopla, Spirit and Storm.
Yep.
We know y'all names.
Yep, we do. So shout out to the West Coast folks. We appreciate y'all for just doing what you're doing on this end where the sun shines.
Oh, yeah. So this podcast episode we'll be getting into is our part two of our reality discussion, which was the last episode we put out. Shout out to Brandon Bell, you know, who was on that episode.
Yeah, and by now we hope you guys have seen Dear White People. I don't know where it is as far as transitioning out of the theaters into an on-demand and cable, but if you have not seen it, please, please see it. It's a good, good film in which to spark discussion about identity and race.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of good films out, but you know, we're going to be getting into that in one of our episodes for 2015.
For sure.
Because you know we feeling some kind of way.
For sure.
So yeah, you know how to check us out. Email us, kc@blackisonline.com. Follow us on Twitter @blackisonline.
Call the hotline, 455-4219, 323 area code.
Yep, on Facebook @blackismagazine. Check us out on the website, blackisonline.com. You can always tune in to us on iTunes Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio now, all under Black Is.
Ooh.
Take it easy, y'all.
Peace.
I'm having trouble at the crib. I'm going at it with my baby mother where I live. While the soldiers bleed, the economy recede. And all she wanna watch is reality TV. But from us a real life, the strange love. Some behavior I couldn't figure the flavor of. Dropped out of charm school when she fell in love with New York. And love money, that's what I'm not made of. I bought a membership to the celebrity.
Because as much as I'll be like, I find myself drawn to certain ones. Like, okay, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood right now. I'm completely judgmental of everybody that's on that show. I don't even apologize for it. I like watching it because Hazel is a fucking train wreck. Ooh. Like, she's my number one reason for tuning into that show.
She's like, she's sort of like Mimi in the like lack of self-respect and, you know, confidence, like the same kind of guy dogging her and just not getting it, kind of.
Yeah.
But it's just sad. Like, totally. It's sad to watch. Just so,
like, I do appreciate the new twist on there with the guy, Little Fizz, who's a single parent, a single father raising his child, right? Looking to be in a relationship with someone who's ready to commit to a family. And we don't see that story often from the male perspective.
This is true.
And we certainly don't see it from, like, the celebrity male perspective.
True that.
We see his mistakes. Like, it's very clear to me that he was in that group, B2K, young, probably hungry, thirsty for love, hooked up with this girl, and then boom, you know what I mean? What he thought she was or what he wanted her to be or needed her to be, she did not turn out to be. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that has to do with the fact that you do put these kids in the spotlight, in the limelight in Hollywood. So, like, I respect him. You get to see him in a light, a different light that we don't see most celebrities in. And now that he doesn't necessarily have a career, you know, his number one job is a father. So I kind of, and it's hard because, like, most reality TV, I don't like any of the characters. You don't find yourself liking one. But I do like him, even as dysfunctional as the relationship is with him and the baby mom and all the back and forth. I do like him because I think it shows a real side that we don't get to see very often.
Totally agree. Right? And I even like the girl who his current girlfriend, because she's kind of being honest. She's like, I'm 25.
Yeah.
I'm not really ready to be somebody's mother. And you have a lot of women who would take advantage of the situation. Yep. Like, you know, he's a celebrity. He got money. He got I should just go ahead and play this role, even though it's not really what they want to be doing for the moment. She's just like, I'm still young. I still want to see what's out there. And
yeah, it shows she's taking it seriously, at least.
Yeah.
Well, y'all talking about the favorite, talking about Youngberg?
No. That's Hazel E. But no, Little Fizz is
the
Little
other
Fizz
one.
Fizz is different than Omarion and his.
You know what?
I'm tired of seeing these mamas on television, man.
That's the new.
Why are you embarrassing yourself? You the damn adult.
And your child.
That's his mom. They're not.
Damn it. Hollywood Exes. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you guys seen Hollywood Exes? Not Hollywood Exes, Hollywood
Atlanta?
Divas.
Oh, no.
Hollywood
Divas. Is that the one with Shantae Moore and all of them?
No. It's the actresses from Hollywood. Oh, no, so it's Elise Neal, who's 48, by the way.
Oh, she looks great.
She's 48. Yes. Paula J. Parker.
Yeah, who's basically, I guess, to be
she's
the
homeless.
Lead.
Yeah, she lives in a hotel.
Oh, I didn't know that. She's the lead on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she brought them all
Countess
together.
Countess Vaughn.
What's up with her?
Yeah, I've seen
Countess Vaughn struggles with her, like, self-image weight and her appearance.
She's gained a lot of weight.
Really? Yeah, she has.
Paula J. Oh, the girl from Atlanta Housewives. that was
Lisa.
Lisa
what
Wu.
What is she doing over
okay,
there?
So that's how they treat her. Like, what are you doing here? Like, you're not an actress.
She ain't an actress.
That's exactly how they.
Yeah,
that's
I saw
exactly,
that first episode.
And Golden, that's how they treat her. Like, who, why are you here? Like, reality TV does not count as an actress. Right, though they're all on reality TV right now.
Well, that's the thing that tripped me out, though, when I saw the lineup. I was like, Lisa Wu Hartwell, it's like one of these kids is doing their own thing. I'm like, she don't fit in this lineup.
Oh, no. And they brought that up. She was, and that's why she was brought on. I saw that first episode.
And Golden Brooks.
Yeah.
And so it basically follows their struggle as actresses in Hollywood, like, black actresses in Hollywood, they're pitted against each other. They try to have friendships, but they really aren't friends to each other. They all have their own insecurities and their spiteful ways. And that one was interesting, I think, just because the first episode that we saw was with Paula J. Parker saying, you know, that she was homeless in a hotel. And they've had, what's her name on another
in a hotel?
Like her. She's been in a lot of stuff lately with Kevin Hart.
Oh, I know. The
actress
one from...
that's been in... She's funny, too. And she's been, like, in Scary Movie.
Yes, I know exactly who you mean. Regina...
Yeah, Regina Hall. She's had a couple of guest appearances on there.
Okay.
But it follows the black actress in Hollywood Divas. Mm. So it's very interesting.
I saw that first episode, and I was like, all really. And then it was when they brought out, because they purposely set everybody up, and then the last person that Paula J. Parker introduces
is Lisa.
And you see Golden and Elise Neal, like, Elise Neal is like, basically, what?
Elise Neal is 48. Did I say that already?
Yeah. Yeah.
She looks great.
Yes, 48.
She ain't never going to age, but she was totally like, why are you on it? Why are you here? And right, it was like, oh, damn.
Golden Brooks, they were like, is she going to be someone of the same caliber? Because basically, Paula J. Parker is saying, like, the roles aren't out there, so we need to create them for ourselves. So she's trying to create a project, and she was bringing them together, and she brought Lisa Wu. But before before she brought Lisa Wu, Elise was like, it's going to be people on my level, right? You know? So I was like, oh, she's got this imaginary career in her head.
Yeah, she's trying to
yeah. Right. Okay.
And so they brought her in, but they point out, Paula J. points out, like, their insecurities. Like, she's a beautiful woman, so they're not going to. And they tell stories of, like, how they've treated each other in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, how they've, like, backstabbed one another, you know, out there.
You see, the singers, to me, have that same drama, too. The R&B divas is always, like, this comparison of who's a real singer.
And they're all so talented on R&B divas, and then they get caught up in that BS. Yeah. Chrisette Michele should not have been on there.
I was wondering why they brought her on there, too. To me, she still has an opportunity
to... She's still relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, they said it on the show, like, she's the only one on here with, like, a Grammy nomination.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It cracked me up. Michelle on there. Michelle only got 2 songs.
Aww.
I love Michelle.
You love me. And I think it is true.
Well, I think Tierra Marie has one.
Maybe
song.
Three. Maybe three.
Tierra Marie got no career. I mean, but because like Love and Hip Hop, you're just like.
It's like a joke.
All it's like 5 women. Because basically, when they do the introduction, it's all the chicks.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, okay, half of them. Probably won't be in the industry. So half of them rap, half of them sing. You're like, you trying to, really?
It goes back to my theory, like for Basketball Wives, it was like, I've had a ball player's balls in my jaws. Now it's like, I've had a rapper's balls in my jaws.
Exactly. That's
and that's why I'm on Love and Hip Hop, right? It's like, slobbed on the knob of a rapper. And so now I'm official.
Like, who are these people?
Yeah, who are you?
I'm trying to get a deal. You're like,
for what? I mean,
I'm on Stevie J to
yeah, they do. You say that again?
Buster. Ray J, they put him in a whole different light though.
Just latest one,
Buster, man.
Oh, he been when I saw they was gonna do a Love and Hip Hop at Hollywood, I thought, okay. And Ray J was on the list. I'm like, I am not fucking surprised. I'm dead on that. When VH1 was gonna do anything in Los Angeles, he was gonna be included with his little reality show.
They love him.
You were like,
because he's good for TV.
He's a professional.
He wants it. He will act a fool.
Yeah, that's what he's and giving them ignorance.
Yeah, he is a king.
Throwing
of
monostat cream at the girls.
And that was fucked up.
The fuck?
That was fucked up. Because she loves him. That's right. Part of the problem. She just be looking heartbroken every time he's talking.
He's like, here's your monostat and your BB.
Who is it? Is this the one he dumped all the shit off
of? Yeah.
The thing about Ray J dumping that's so interesting on. Is that he's really
not that person.
No, I'm not going to say that. Not anymore. But I think he's the product of
an affluent, doing well family.
Yeah, yeah. And he's the kid who actually got the start first, but was overshadowed by a sibling. And this is where he finds himself. Because Ray J was doing stuff before Brandy. He was acting before she dropped her first album. But once she became the music star that she is, it completely overshadowed anything. And Ray J can sing, too.
I was getting ready to say, and we both know them. Because we both, and I was getting ready to say, talented.
Yeah.
Very talented. Yeah, very talented. But it just reminds me of that legacy child who wants to get on the other side of the tracks.
Yep.
And you don't have to. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. Totally.
Just stay in your lane, which is why he puts a 200 on a 2.
Yeah. He's always been like that.
Keep 100 with me.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to try to act like he was sort of kind of hard a little bit. But I was like,
always.
We
right.
saw you on, like, playing Sinbad's son when you were like 10 years old or however old he was.
Right.
You know, it's like we know that
and
you
know
don't have some background.
And we know your upbringing.
You know, right. Yeah, we know.
Seriously religious.
He tried to
yeah.
get
yeah.
like, come on.
He was like, you didn't struggle.
Even if you were just Brandy's brother and without a career,
right.
It would be unrealistic. Like, Brandy was super successful and she was like 16 years old.
Right.
It put him in her video. Which
yeah,
her,
I mean,
and unfortunately, her first, she's not going to top her first single.
Yeah, she's actually on that show. She was on that show, though, one time, and she was real with him. Like, sometimes I wonder, how in the heck do you and I have the same mother and father? It's hard for me to believe that we were raised in the same house and that you're immature and you're, you know, so she spoke real to him. But it's just crazy. But they had their own, that's what TV is now.
Yeah, they had their own show. Well, it was mm-hmm. them two.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they did. Yeah. And they were almost moms. Sonya almost got put in that spotlight of being one of those crazy reality TV moms, too.
Because Sonya is different. Right. Don't get it fucked up.
I mean, even...
Don't mess with her kids.
Even with his, even with that videotape, the video he put out, and somebody was talking about that in the barbershop. To me,
Kim Kardashian?
The video was more about him because she sucked. It was like, really? Okay. But to me, it was for him, he put out was like, she's going to be like, I'm packing. What?
Yeah.
He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose.
I mean, the fact that he brought it up was like, I hear some residuals from the video donating to their wedding. You were like, what the fuck, nigga? Really?
And his song, I Hit That.
That was shady. Yeah,
like, right, hit that first.
I don't like that.
He don't care. I mean, even when you tell me when he had his show on about getting a chick, and they
the one where he was like,
yeah, the right where he had
for the love of
the chick with the tattoo on her face,
danger,
and they filmed in the church. You were like,
wow, this little dude is milking the system. You know what? I've got to think, get back a little bit. He's smart. When you brought that up, I forgot this little dude is milking
reality show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
where my little church shower was, he filmed that little pancake breakfast with them right in that same room.
Wow. Now that I think about it, like,
he was on. Dude. He tried to sign with Dev Row.
he never ended up coming out with a CD, did he?
No, but he came at the end and was trying to flex.
He had a CD out at one time, but not with Death Row. I forgot. He had a little song with Lil' Kim, I think.
He had like three hits.
It's
songs.
On tonight.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I was kind of a fan of his.
He tried, and there was some other every
really sing.
It was like pop and catchy, you know? What was the stripper one where it was like,
he dropped a song, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, every like 5 years, he dropped a single.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Because the thing is, it's not like Ray J doesn't have access to good production and song. I mean, he's Brandy's brother. He's going to have access to good music, but he's definitely figured out how I'm going to play this game. Mm-hmm. If I'm not going to make it on just sheer talent,
right?
This is what I'm going to do.
I forgot that he had that show for the love of Ray J.
Oh, yeah. Two seasons, I think.
Yeah, it was
right?
Two seasons.
Yeah.
And then he also was the one that was hosting those Bad Girl Club things.
Yeah, he would host the challenge reunions? One, I think it was when they have the challenges.
Yeah.
He's the only one to me that's on that show that's known. Can somebody please tell me who the fuck Molly Mall is?
I know.
And why chicks are fighting over this dude? I was like, I'm so confused. Who is he?
He's so busted.
Everybody's like this producer that we don't know about.
Yeah. Nothing. I know nothing about him.
Although the name sounds familiar, Molly Mall.
Well, it sounds like Melly Mel.
That's what he got off on.
I'm confused.
Well, that's all them shows. Like, you think of
that girl is so scary looking.
They have a real Marley Mall.
Okay.
That's the OG.
Okay.
Now him, he's supposed to be Molly Mall. I don't know. You know, he's supposed to be this big time producer. I've heard his name a few times on tracks, but I never knew who he was. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like hits though. You know what I mean?
Okay, so he has some songs.
He has some songs. But now I guess they're showing the face now, you know what I mean, to who he is. But
scary face.
Yeah. And the chick who is his woman.
Well, she is scary.
Okay, can we talk about the fact that the LA crew, there is so much plastic surgery happening there. And this is out of all the Love and Hip Hop shows, this is the youngest cast. Mm-hmm. From what I can tell, everybody looks very, very young. Like, there's mid-20s, early 20s. As where, you know, Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta and New York, you're dealing with folks that's like our age and older. Mm-hmm. But the plastic surgery that these people have put themselves under at this age, to me, is so frightening. I think the only person who hasn't had plastic surgery, from what I can tell, and I hope not because she fight too much, is Tierra Marie.
Her boobs.
She got her boobs.
I don't know. They look gigantic. I'm just guessing. I have no idea.
I just know that girl, the Marley Marl's girlfriend, her proportions are just ridiculous. I'm like, girl, come on.
She looks like she'll pop.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Touch her with a pen.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And poor Hazel's face.
Ooh,
or whatever.
I know.
And then the other girl.
And I
who
saw
was
a picture before. Like a before
what was her
picture.
Before
she
look?
Was
busted.
Nice. Nice.
Oh,
girl.
Really?
Normal. Nice looking girl.
Just Hazel? Mm-hmm. Because her lips are
but it
just,
speaks
whoo,
to the
scary.
Times, right? Like, yeah. into that generation. Like, I was not in my 20s thinking about no kind of cosmetic surgery.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I'm, you know, maybe it, I was a little no. on the extreme, being like, I'm fine. But I was not thinking of plastic surgery.
Yeah, this is no. that day and age where, you know, that's what your high school graduation gift is yeah. getting some work done. You're like,
that's
seriously?
Crazy.
I mean, I mean, straight up, they advertise it on urban radio wow. in commercials.
They
you
sure
like,
do, like vagina like, rejuvenation.
You won't get that tummy tuck. You won't get that.
You
lipo.
Don't look the same
and
after
like,
being
you
a mother.
Play shit. Your music is for 13-year-olds, and when you're not playing this bullshit, this is what you're playing. Like, hey, get that work done. Look what I got done.
But
I
that's think, what the kids are seeing.
I mm-hmm. think that shit is regional too. I think that is very southern oh. fucking Cali. That's
oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. definitely.
Which is sad as hell.
I don't remember right. ever hearing like a plastic surgery commercial growing up. Ever,
no.
like never.
Yeah,
because it was just getting your boobs
lunchtime
done.
Lipo.
Right, lunchtime lipo.
They do yeah. on a lot of places.
It's either get work done. Easy rims for rent.
Right.
Easy rims for rent.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And that, my friends, is American TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a trip, the sign of the times with reality TV. And these are who the kids look up to. These are who the girls want to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Their role models are those people. Like, I have a little cousin who's in love with Tamar Braxton.
And that's when I feel guilty about watching it, is when I hear that. Because I do know that, like, even just, obviously, I'm not going to make or break the show, mm-hmm. but just contributing to watching it, I do feel bad that there are people that this is all they know of, like,
that's all
black
they know.
People.
So
you know?
If little girls are growing up, this is all, they don't have any TV shows to watch, right? Like, yeah. they don't have a character to pick outside right. of reality TV. No. We did. We had Cosby Show. We had A Different World.
We'll stay up watching Scandal.
Facts of Life.
And we didn't have 24-hour TV. Like,
no, we did not have 24-hour
TV. It was just like, you know, you had to catch your
I
show when it was on.
Facts of Life. You know I am old.
Facts of Life was great.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Yeah, 2D. I'm going to be like 2D.
Yeah.
You know. But when they turn on the TV, this generation of girls, if they want to be like someone, it is going to be someone from reality TV.
I can't either.
That's scary.
Yeah, I hit a point where, you know, talking about, I keep bringing up like big time shows, Who Begged to Change, Real Housewives of Atlanta. I hit a point, I watched it, we watched it, and then I'm probably about the third or fourth season, I was like, I can't do it, I can't. And I don't know if Love & Hip Hop of Real Housewives is still that. Out of that particular dynamic of black women shows, that show, I'm just like, I told Casey this today. I was like, they are making it to the point where black men are not going to want to date black women based on these shows.
Amen.
I'm like, why do I want you? Because you look at these chicks, and a lot of them, you're just like, at least every show, there's at least one or two of them, you're like, she's kind of cute. Soon as she starts talking, you're like, hell no. And then when we're out at a spot, public arena, all of you, and we know these, they set them up where it's like whoever you don't like is showing up to the same club you at that night.
Yeah,
they go off and you're like, you're embarrassing the shit out of me at this spot. Like, you don't want to just leave.
Home girl.
I gotta confront you on what I'm feeling about you in this public place. And if it turn up, so what? I'm going to just act a fool. Security got to pull me out. Whatever. I mean, that's the bad ghost club every damn episode. You're like, why the fuck do I want to be with you? But because all these shows are all black women, you're like, And if all these people see of black women are these shows, why the hell am I going to want to date a black woman? If this is what I got to deal with, if I do something wrong, I'm going to get cussed out in public, in a restaurant, instead of just, let's take it home. If you want to call me, whatever the hell you want to call me, in our own place, fine. But you want to do it with 30 people around. Really? Nah, I'm good. I'm going to just go find me somebody else.
I know. Mm-hmm. But this is a big problem. I also, like, I feel bad because a friend of mine expressed a similar thing. Like, he was just like, oh, like, said something about black women on TV or something and sort of made it into more of a generalization. I was like, when I hear someone like you say that, because he's a smart guy, and I'm like, I know you know better than that. Like, I don't know women like this. Like, these aren't women that I know, you know? And right. And I was like, you don't know women. And he's like, no, you're right, you're right. But I'm like, but just the fact that it was so easy for you to go into that thinking and to fall prey to that sort of, like, you know, image, whatever, just sticking with you, like, makes me uncomfortable. Because there's people that aren't smart enough to, like, be like, you know what, I know better. Like, I know that this is not how most black women are. And yep. It's like, that is troubling to me. It and really
it's
like, is.
Now it's starting to have the sort of impact on you where you're seeing something like that and thinking, maybe this really is how.
More the norm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Man. I know.
Yeah.
And it's not. I mean, I don't know anybody like that. You know, I'm just like, this is a caricature. These are characters, you know?
But Tori and I were talking about, this is like a different topic though, but how black men would say, can say like, man, I ain't fucking with black women no more. You know, they can easily say that. Because a lot of times, like, we were coming up with our thesis about it. And I was telling her, like, pretty much what Chris was saying. How black men sees a black woman in particular, the way they act, the way they are, the things that they say. And of course, it's not, you know, all across the board, but a lot of young black men growing up in a black household, they see this day in and day out from some of these black women. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for them, they figure like when they grow up, like, man, I don't want to deal with that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Instantly, when they hear something or see something, it takes them to a spot where they're like, man, I don't want to fuck with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it delivers like a hopelessness for the black man to want to actually gravitate to the black woman. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even though it's like it's a double standard, because black women have it just as hard because they grow up in the same harsh environment too, mm-hmm. as a black man. So they have to fight, you know what I'm saying? Black women have to always fight, you know what I'm saying? They have to always be tough, you know what I'm saying? Just based on what society is throwing to them. And let alone the generations that they've been going through, watching their moms go through, their grandmother and aunts and cousins and older folk that they look up to go through hardship and the way that they've been treated, you know what I'm saying? So that's all they really know, which is sad. It's kind of sad. You know
what I'm saying? Because it's almost it's like what that they, becomes their legacy.
Yeah, that's what it is. And it's really not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's really not like that. It's just it's like being pushed in a corner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them been pushed in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they've been traumatized. You know what I mean? That's what we was saying, like me and Tori, we was talking about. Just that, man. You know what I'm saying? What Chris actually said, man, it just like hit the nail right on the head, you know what I'm saying?
Which is scary, because like one of the conversations we had before when we were talking about like discipline and raising kids, and the fact that we've seen those mothers that will curse at their children and go off on their children in public, and you could imagine that right there lays the foundation for a young man to grow up and say, I don't want to, when I make my selection, I don't want my life to look like that at all. And then we also know those folks who, I don't know where that comes from. I know everybody has a limit. You know what I'm saying? You push me to a certain point, I'll jump out my frame too. But it is not in my nature to want to go out and fight in public. But there are people who I know operate like that. Like, they're waiting for it. You go out with that person and you know you got to watch how much liquor they take in or whoever's in the scene with them, because any little thing will trigger them and some shit can pop off. And it's like, when does that stop? You know what I'm saying? When you a teen or early 20s and you young, you can be, I guess you can afford to be a little bit more reckless. But you think at some point you will grow out of that behavior. Like, I can't just be popping off because I feel like popping off.
It's just, it's like growing up with a chip, you know what I'm saying, on your shoulder. And some people have never really dealt with, like, looking at themselves in the mirror, or in particular, realizing, like, okay, I came from this, but I can't change that. This is my family. Whatever the case may be, for them to always want to just be violent.
Like, whatever it is that sets them off.
Yeah. In particular, whatever it may be, they never really dealt with it, actually came to that maturity level and was like, you know what, man, I can't be like this. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of where I came from or whatever has happened to me, you know what I'm saying? I can't be like that. Sometimes people don't never grow out of that. You know what I'm saying? And it's a comfort for them. You know what I mean? Because that's their space. That's something that they can control.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For themselves. And it's a safety mechanism. Like, shit, you ain't about to get close to me. Ain't nobody about to touch me. And I got that. Like, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? So that's how they are. I believe that that's how they are. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they never really reached that maturity level to just be like, you know what, man? I'm going to break this. You know what I'm saying? Now it's time for, you know, I'm not going to follow whoever. I'm going to break this cycle. So when I have my kids, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to teach them a different way, a different mentality. And if you think about it, like this is another topic too. But if you think about it, man, like black folk, it's almost like naturally we against each other. You know what I'm saying? Most black people don't want to see black people succeed, period. They don't want to support a lot of things, man. And it's real sad. You know what I'm saying? What they would support, though, is watching them make an ass of themselves. You know what I'm saying? They will support watching other black people make ass of themselves. You know what I'm saying? But they never want, they really won't support them if they want to do some real shit, like start a real movement and, you know what I'm saying, uplift the black community, the kids, you know what I'm saying, in particular the generations that need to grow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, you know, in particular, they don't want to support that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, I'm for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. That's what I believe what it is.
T, you know? I feel like you and I talked about that too. It's like you realize at some point, and I wonder if it's specific to us, but just the idea that everybody is not happy for you. So when you find yourself doing something successful or progressive, everybody that's smiling in your face and being like, oh, congratulations. They don't necessarily mean that.
Right. And this kind of goes back, like, we're going back. We're all over the map.
Right. But this in where you can.
Yeah, this thought is still here, going back to what both of the Chris's said as far as black men seeing black women as undesirable to date or they don't want to date. When Chris and I were having that conversation, I tried to speak on behalf of black women because y'all know I am the advocate for us.
Right? Yes, ma'am.
I was born in this world as a little black girl, and I have carried that up until now, and I will carry it until my grave. So therefore, I know that we go through a lot. You know, I think I said once when we were talking about one of our brown girl hours that being a black woman is not always pretty. You know, it has its ugly. So I was trying to explain that to Chris, you know, like this is what, you know, the black woman faces on a daily, right? We know that we've been deemed unattractive in many of black men's eyes, right? Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, we've been perceived as angry. We know that we have some issues. We know that we've been hard. We know that we've failed to support our men in some ways. And so I'm explaining this and explaining this. And the very next day, less than 24 hours later, we're out. And I see this black woman just go bananas. She was in a car accident with a black man. He has her meet her at the body shop so that his body mechanic can fix the car. And he's trying to make it work it out. He didn't want to report it to the insurance. He's like, look, I'm going to just pay to get it fixed. Let's go. And she obviously didn't like the body mechanic. She didn't like the shop. And the way she was expressing it, and I mean, she was on a 20. And I was like, oh, my God. And it made me realize, like, we do have to be accountable for ourselves in spite of what we go through, in spite of what the world throws at us, in spite of the day-to-day challenges of being a black woman, because I'm not going to downplay any of that. We still have to hold ourselves accountable, if nothing else, for ourselves, for these little black girls that are behind us.
True that.
Right?
It wasn't the way it wasn't even how the situation went down or anything. It was the way that she started talking.
It was the reality TV.
Just going on.
Started talking, it was like, Tori was like, damn. Like, fuck. You know what I'm
saying? I wanted to just like grab her like, no, sister, no. No. I know this shit looks shady because I'm guessing this shady too, but no. Bring it back.
She was using words incorrectly and everything.
Yeah.
That's what it gets bad. I mean, thinking of that, especially lately, watch, you know, now you have me watching Real Housewives of Hot, well, whatever, all these dinger shows. Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, and then watching the Atlanta one with all this. It had me really thinking that Tupac line, and keep your head up, because I think it's here now. He was like, if not, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies and make the babies. Mm-hmm. And I keep wondering, who is that chicken and egg? Who is it? Because you got the brothers who will see these women up, leave. Women feel like they have to carry the load and carry this whatever chip that makes them angry or feel like some kind of way. If you have a son, they look at these women and like, I don't want to deal with that. Mm-hmm. But, and it's the same kind of cycle, but you don't have a man, so you deal with them, but not really. You end up seeing them, and it's just this continuous cycle. I'm like,
I mean, even seeing it in regards to the celebrity relationships, like, who was it recently? I never know these artists' name, but Future and somebody and Wiz Khalifa and whomever. You know, everybody gets married. And Khalees. Well, Nas and Khalees at least tried for some years. Right. But you got folks who get married, get pregnant, and like a year later are divorced. And now you have brought a child into this situation. Right. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? They're still so young. And I'm like, these are situations you don't have to create for yourself. Like, what conversation did not happen?
But I was reading an article that spoke to that, and it said that we no longer have role models for what an intimate relationship is.
That's part
and of it. That society is set up for us to function alone. Yeah. Society is single friendly. Not that there's anything wrong with being single, but society is set up to be single friendly, where you don't feel like you need to develop the skills to have an intimate relationship with someone where you're meeting their needs and allowing them to meet your needs. That's and true. We don't have those skills. Back in the day when marriage was functioning, marriage functioned out of a need of, you know, take care of the wives, somebody stay home and take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the case today, right? Because wives can take care of themselves, wives can take care of the children. So we don't have, they were like, this generation, our generation, we don't have those intimate skills. Yeah. And we don't have role models for relating to each other intimately anymore. In that we can throw our marriages away in 2 years, and yeah, you'll be crying and you'll be depressed for a little while, but society is single friendly. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can function by yourself. You can just hook up with somebody, keep going, keep it moving, you know, and that's it. So it's really scary.
Yeah. And I think to build on that, so I was having this conversation earlier with Moody. It's an extension. It goes a little it goes a little off, but I think it's fitting. We live in a society that has a big issue with shaming people. Like, you know, if people are behaving in ways that are irresponsible and you bring it to the table, you are now considered shaming them. It's a shaming culture. But once upon a time, there were certain things that did bring shame to you. You didn't talk about it. Right. You know what I mean? If you were engaging in certain behaviors that were irresponsible, you try to keep that shit as quiet as possible, as where now anything goes. So if you choose to be promiscuous, it's not promiscuity, it's sexual independence. Well, really, what is the fucking difference when it comes down to it? But if you call somebody promiscuous, you're shaming them.
Right.
You know, once upon a time, you didn't talk about being a hoe if you was a hoe. You kept that shit quiet on both the male and the female side. Right. Now it's like you just rock that shit.
Right.
You know, if you were a stripper once upon a time, you didn't tell nobody that shit either. You just left the house quietly, went to the job, came back, and that was it. Now you got a web page and an Instagram
and a book deal.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So there's no more like rule and order when it comes to that. Everything is just okay.
Everything's okay.
And to me, when you have that sort of loosey-goosey, you know, all is right. And there is no wrong. There is nothing that you should covet and say, you know what, maybe this is not a behavior I should engage in. You allow for these sort of circumstances to exist.
Right.
You know, and like I said, not just for women, but for men too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because as much as we all know that there have always been men out there who have not been faithful, to me, the conversation or the openness about, like, if I'm going back to reality television, the way this dude, Young Bird, treats this woman, Hazel, is beyond disrespectful.
Right.
And you know, it used to be a man would at least try to lie and give you some level of dignity in the game that he was playing. He wasn't just trying to break you down. Yeah. This, like, if this girl honestly went out there and hurt herself over this dude, it would make perfect sense to me. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just so mentally just chipping away at what little bit of self-esteem that she has on national television, right. Which to me is the coldest fucking shit ever. It's so cold. It's crazy. So cold. And so that's, to me, all of that is kind of embroiled together. It's very scary to see that these are the young people that are partnering now, that are creating children now, that are going to raise.
And that's what they're doing. Generation. Just partnering, creating children. They're not building families.
No.
They're not committed to family. They don't know it. They don't have the role model for it.
Yeah. You know? And what's scary, some of them have money. And so that is going to give them a certain amount of access for these children that they're creating. Some of them have real celebrity. Celebrity has its own power because it has influence. So who are they influencing and whose minds are they changing basing on? I mean, like seeing Teddy Riley's daughter on this show blows my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know? That was weird because he was, you know, going to him and it was like, just when you're like, oh, he's from VA.
I haven't seen the episode, though, with him coming onto the show to talk to
us. I think it's the next one. Okay. You're like,
it was strange that I didn't realize that she, her kid was somebody else's kid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so she has a really, really young kid. She's already supposedly moving in. Like, I was like, this is a mess.
Yeah.
This
is a mess. And she says she's one of, like, 8 kids of Teddy Riley. Like, right. And they don't all have the same moms.
A mess.
And so she's coming into a situation as a child of a celebrity, a real one,
right?
You know, but seeing historically,
and a child of that hot mess situation, right? Because you she's following that same path. Why wouldn't she?
Right.
Why wouldn't she?
Right. And she got all the access that she could possibly need. I'm sure Teddy Riley's still catching checks, even though I don't know when the last time I'd have heard a new Jack Swing.
No, he catching checks.
But he'd have made enough hits for there to be residuals. Right. And it's like, it's scary to me that, I mean, this is even making me think about the conversation we were having about Bill Cosby. Why does celebrity and fame and influence have to be tied into dysfunction? It almost makes you fearful of trying to attain those things in your life.
Right. Because it's dysfunctional people that are getting into that in the first place. They were born into dysfunction themselves.
And are you just now surrounded in, like, Herbie Hancock came out this week with an autobiography, and he speaks to the fact that he had a crack cocaine addiction. Nobody knew this. The man's a musical genius. Nobody has known that Herbie Hancock was battling crack.
And that's how you're supposed to keep it, though.
Yeah, just the fact that he was exposed to it to the point where it has had a long-term impact on his life. Like, where is there the celebrity who has not had this kind of shit? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it would happen because they're human.
It's probably casual. It's so casual to just fall right into that shit. You know what I'm saying?
And it's probably so prevalent.
And it's so accessible.
They're around these people.
Such and such house.
And I guess we just too broke to experience the bad shit.
Ain't no nose candy over here.
not a thing.
That cocaine money real. Like you gotta be of a certain class.
Yeah. And even reading like the excerpt that he put out there, he was like, cocaine wasn't something I was afraid of. Wasn't nothing wrong with cocaine. But when I got exposed to crack, that was something that was different. Even that, even the comfort with cocaine, like cocaine,
And okay. he said he didn't want to do it, but you know, you get that peer pressure. Somebody, like, dude, just try once. You're like, okay, and you're like, and I'm like, this is what. People need to hear this because you like all it takes is for them drugs. All it takes is one, and I'm like,
it's like heroin, man.
Yeah, and he said it's like heroin.
Yeah, he said that shit gave his, like, every pleasurable nerve in your body is hit by crack. And he said the first hit, he was like, I should have not done this. Because I'm going to have to do it again.
Yeah,
I get so scared of situations like that. I used to have a woman who was she used to do my facials, an esthetician. And she was doing my facial one day and she was just talking casually. And, you know, she used to light her little bowl every now and again. I'm like, girl, get it in. And then she said, girl, I've been sitting there out here thinking, I just want to get a drink. Da, da, da. I'm going to have me a little cocktail. My homegirl's coming over. But she's like, you know what goes so good with cocktails? I was like, girl, what? She was like, girl, cocaine. Cocaine and cocktails. And I was like, I am never coming back over here again. Well, it fucked me up.
Having worked in the entertainment industry my entire career, I mean, cocaine is like Saturday candy. Night for most people. Like, it's not even a big deal at all. And especially not to be stereotypical, like white people. I mean, you cannot find a white person that has not tried cocaine. Good luck with that. Shit. They all do it. I mean, at least have tried, at least in my experience, and are very casual about it. Like, it's not a big deal. Right. Like, I was out with...
it's like weed.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Like, a friend of mine, he's black, but we were with a group of white people that he was friends with, and one of the guys was talking about, remember that time in Vegas? And I did so much blow that my face was numb on half, like half of his face was numb for like 2 days after coming back from Vegas. And he said this so casually. It was a group of people. And I was like, what? Like, I was like shocked. Like, so much cocaine that half of your face was numb for 2 days? Like, that's like crazy to me. And they all were like, oh, yeah, remember that? And I was like... Okay.
That's exactly how I felt when whole girl was saying that, doing my face.
But
I was
that's how they think of it.
I'm like, is it really that casual?
That's how much the world has to offer us these days.
Yeah.
Talking about falling to the perils of the, falling to the, the tragics of the world.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, how do I protect my child from that's ever how you, coming close to this shit?
Right.
Yeah, that's how you know the drug game ain't going nowhere. I'm like, if you got like rich folk who are like, yeah, we just doing this drug because we can. I'm like, why the hell am I going to try to stop this shit?
And see, that's the thing that I feel like I see. I was texting Leisha about this on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. I feel like all them kids is on dope. All of them.
I'm sure they are.
Because you know they've gotten exposed to it.
And they're too... unstable and up and down. They'll be calm 1 second and then on level 500 the next second. It's just, it's too just.
It's sad.
It's very sad.
Very, very sad.
And they're so young. They're so young.
But you know, you get into that industry early, it don't matter. If you're like, once you get in and you popping, somebody in at some point is going to be like, hey, you want to try this?
And it really makes Hollywood look like a scary place, to be honest.
Oh, Hollywood's very scary. It's very scary. I think people just don't see that. They see all the glamour, but I'm like,
yeah.
Yo, I mean, just like how they show Hollywood. It's like, oh, look at Hollywood. I'm like, go to actually Hollywood and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is not the place you want to hang out with at night. You like, no. Hollywood grimy.
Very grimy.
Oh, I know exactly.
The people that take you go out there, they dress up in the costumes. No, one of them, yeah. But not only are they fighting, he fighting the girl, man. He beating up Catwoman. He actually picked her up and slammed the shit out the woman. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy, man. But like you said, go out there and see Hollywood. Man, if I was there, I would whoop that dude ass, man.
Yeah.
You can't do no woman. Why you going to slam the woman like that, man? Like, you know what I'm saying?
What were they fighting over?
Probably over money and territory, some kind of shit.
Or something. She took some of his pictures or some craziness like that.
Wow.
Like some dumb shit. And he's like literally body slammed her. Like, crazy.
Yeah. And I find it interesting on that show. Everybody talks about everybody's drinking habit. And I just think the drugs is what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, they never talk about the
drugs. Oh, of course, because drugs, it ain't legal. Alcohol legal, you can talk about doing that shit all you want, but ain't nobody, nobody talking about that illegal shit.
I was actually shocked on the Love & Hip Hop Atlanta reunion. They really were very open about DBJ the drug use.
DBJ.
DBJ. I was really surprised because they were usually very hush-hush with drugs. Mm-hmm. They will not go into drugs. But they must have a really big problem because they couldn't.
They brought it. They couldn't ignore it. Right? They could not talk about it.
Yeah,
that actually made a lot of shit make sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, because she's a piece.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah,
they're so off.
Yeah.
She was high because she fought everybody on that show.
I know, right?
only that nose candy make you feel like Superwoman.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Catch your ass on a sober day in the hood, though.
Right. Yeah.
All bad.
But I remember when when they dropped the Real Housewives of Atlanta and they, the money they were making. I remember we did a show about that. And I'm like, you know what? I was, and he even honest, I mean, we got to be like, if somebody's offering you $500,000 to act stupid, I mean, and you know, you coming from these backgrounds, you ain't even seeing like $50,000. You like,
you gonna take it?
I had to get $100,000 a year. You know what? I don't mind acting like a fool. Yeah, and you just, and they don't care. I'm like, but it's not being sold as like a fictional show. Yeah, it's sold as like, this is how you do every day. You go out, you having a good time. Somebody come at you and be like, you know what? You on some bullshit. And you just like, oh, what? And I'm throwing hands. And you like, you're a woman.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's the thing that always scares me about that one character, Tierra Marie, is how quick she goes to fighting. It's because she's a beautiful girl.
She is.
But for that to be her initial response to, I mean, like, she can not take criticism at all. I'm like, you in the worst fucking industry ever if you can't be critiqued, even though she, you know, some people go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. But like, literally, it just takes a person just to upset her just a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's ready to fight. And I'm like, that's just, that's insanity to me. That's insanity. Yes. I mean, y'all, we could talk about this shit for a whole nother hour.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm crashing though.
No. Right.
Well, we thank y'all for tuning in. I'm sure we will come back to this topic at another time because the reality shows are not stopping.
No.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Break. Peace. About to do it like Beyonce and tell her to the left. Truth be told, she about to television me to death. Yo.